Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost up positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I'll piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers eating fresh roads.
Oh yeah, welcome to episode 228 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, where pimp stands for permaculture is my passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth, where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. As y'all can see, the dynamic duo are back together. We're having a reunion tour, y'all. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Okay, greenwavefilters.com. Look, you got dirty power. In fact, I literally just got done with a text message exchange with one of the people that was at the festival this last weekend. We'll come to that in a minute. And actually, it was one of the organizers there. And he took home one of my testers, basically the one that I'm about to send you home with.
Yeah.
And he tested his house, man. I'll put it this way, y'all. Anywhere about 50 to 25 millivolts is about acceptable. You know, it's pretty good. I thought we were bad at 850 millivolts. Dude, his is reading over 1,000.
Dang.
So that's how bad. I wasn't given liberty to give his name yet, but he's probably going to be listening and he knows I'm telling y'all the real deal. Anyway, the most inexpensive way and I've been looking into these, and I keep promising you guys a video, but as you know, I've been going at 100 miles an hour, whether it was up at Polyface last weekend or at our own festival this weekend or the weekend before last at Polyface and this last weekend at ours. Man, I'm just not able to, I don't have the bandwidth, but I'm going to get it done sooner or later. Anyway, I've tested them out there, and I'm here to tell you, this one absolutely does the trick. In fact, son, I sent you some in the mail.
Yeah.
We got to change a few things around to make sure this thing's working. But anyway,
cause I don't have any grounds in the house. I don't have any ground wires.
Well, they do make a two prong version of it. And it's really not what you want. You really want that ground in there. We're going to work that out because it's going to require some more, but if you only do have two prongs in your house, and some people, in order to sell a house, they'll go ahead and if you have a good inspector, they'll check it. They'll check all the grounds and make sure that it actually has a ground with the tester. A lot of them don't do it. But anyway, they do make a Greenwave filter that you can plug into just a two prong where it's just a hot and a neutral, where you don't have the hot, neutral, and ground. Anyway, my man put this thing in there and I got to get with the engineer tomorrow and find out. But man, it looks like that stuff. I mean, the whole place is getting Kentucky fried. So he's going to probably turn the power off tonight while they sleep, and then they'll kick it up in the morning. But I'll try to get him some solid answers. Anyway, promo code PERMA is going to get you 5% off there. And if you want to tip a pimp, go do it on the Fountain app. Listen to all your podcasts over there, even triple up the speed. And if you want to drop a derivation of Bitcoin on a player, you know where to do it. Do it over there. Drop a SAT on a PIMP. Well, son, here you are back again. And it's been a while, but it hadn't been that long. I mean, you were here just a few months ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I brought the wife and baby this time, though.
Yeah. And I'm telling y'all what, the cuteness meter for me and your mom, of course, is like going through the roof. And the thing that's really troubling right now is that I do have work I have to get done. Like, we went out to Janet's today to go flip those piles. We'll come to that in a minute. But, I still got work that needs to get done. The animals have to get done, these other things, but the baby's up in the morning and I don't even want to do the chores. I ain't even going to lie. I'm sitting here like, you know I need to go out here and do this, but she is so doggone cute. And I love her so much. And I'm like, man, I got to go out here and get this stuff done. But I'll be honest with you, I do not want to do it. So it's the hardest thing right now in the world. In my world, the hardest thing right now is actually doing the work I'm supposed to do. But I'm like, these animals will get by. I mean, chickens haven't been moved in a couple of days, which is highly unusual for us. But yeah, we're working through it. But anyway, I want to spend as much time with my little grandbaby as I possibly can. So farm news, that's part of it, man. When you do things like this and when you're burning a candle at both ends, as many of us do this time of year, you're going to be playing catch up. And we are on a number of things. We have basically a fall garden that still needs to get planted. We got potatoes out there that still aren't even harvested.
Yeah.
And folks, for all you people out there that are beating yourselves up saying, well, man, I got this behind, I got that behind. I heard a lot of people say that, especially at this at the Homesteaders United Jamboree. You know, not a lot, but some people came up and said, man, you know, I'm just up to my eyeballs. Look, I know exactly what you mean. And that's just the nature of it. So, son, how are you keeping up with things back at your homestead?
I mean, you know, I think I'm in the same boat as everybody, just trying to stay afloat. And as well, on top of that, I'm managing two different places, the suburban demonstration site and then the rural urban dish, the rural demonstration site. And then I'm trying to set up a online PDC for people. So for somebody who's not very tech literate, it's kind of difficult. I'm trying to battle between if I should use Patreon or Locals. I was told to use Locals. It's more of a free speech platform, but I'm just not familiar with the site. I don't know if it's going to be able to function the way I need it to function and stuff like that. But
well, I would almost, I'll tell you that you might want to figure out what Stefan Sobkowiak is doing, because okay, his platform is about as awesome as it gets when it comes to a learning platform. I don't know that I've ever seen anything better. It is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it looks like you get a lot of irons in the fire too, and a whole lot of people are asking about a PDC. So I mean, why don't you while we're in the farm news, why don't you give them an update on that? I mean, what's your idea for that?
The PDC, I'm basically going to go through the permaculture design manual.
Permaculture design course for those that don't know.
Yeah, PDC is a permaculture design course. It's also a permaculture design certificate, so it can get a little confusing. But a permaculture design course that goes through the permaculture design manual. No communism involved at all. None of that Marxist crap. It's earth care, people care, and return the surplus to the first two people or the first two ethics. And I'm going to go step by step and give you guys hopefully as many real life examples of the permaculture throughout the permaculture design course as I can. And I think there's going to be maybe tiers where we can be more involved with conversation and then maybe like a monthly talk. I'm still trying to figure that part out and stuff. But the daily battle for me is trying to figure out if I should focus more on doing like outdoor work, like either at either demonstration site or work on like online stuff. And that's on top of doing like permaculture consultations and stuff.
So folks, don't feel bad when in the nature of doing this kind of work, you're always going to find yourself behind the power. I mean, it is just the nature of this work. You're always going to feel as if there's only 24 hours in a day and I can't keep up. I don't have a good solution for you. I mean, I really don't.
Here's a cool update that I think a lot of people will find handy, was that I installed a cover crop on the garden at the rural demonstration site, the one that's in DeKalb. I installed in DeKalb, Texas, by the way, keep that in mind. I installed a cover crop earlier this spring. I planted sweet potatoes later and I watered them in basically and haven't given them water since. And I had a fantastic sweet potato harvest from that. I think knowing about the cover crops and the use of cover crops and interplanting with your like annual varieties, I think that's going to save a lot of people time on just watering every day.
Well, that takes us right back to the farm connection where I was talking about how they've come up with a pretty awesome cover crop mix.
Yeah.
And they were out at the Homesteaders United Jamboree as well. And man, they got the best seed mix. I mean, I need to put them in the lineup in here. Like I said, I don't get anything out of that, folks. I mean, I tell you about them because honestly, they do good work. They're some of the few people out there that are actually growing nitrogen fixers. They're some of the few people out there that are actually putting in the work to, when I'm telling them, hey, here's the problem I have with the seed mix we were working with and they don't ship, but I mean, you'll order it and then like we were putting in out at special operations equipment. We were putting in that demonstration site out there and the seeds were ordered. I don't even know how long before, months before, and they didn't arrive until like a day or two after, as I recall.
Yeah, I'm going to start working with Allison on these permaculture consultations. I'm going to start working with her and what plant lists she has available and go based off that for like the plant recommendations and stuff like that. Because, I mean, she has plant varieties that like my the plant list that I would include before was only things that were like accessible to people, even though there's a way bigger list of things they could actually plant. I didn't want to give them a list of plants that they can't buy anywhere or the ones that are, they're going to have to, you know, go to some sketchy website like Tree Seeds. Literally, this is a sketchy website, treeseeds.com. I still haven't gotten my order. And that was years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when you're talking about Allison, he means Allison over at the Farm Connection and Ian, they own the place. It's literally mom and pop. And when we were doing our consult, when we were doing our course, we did a couple of courses out there. William and I processed, we started with a goat and then we realized Mike, the Fit Farmer, had probably more chickens and ducks that he could handle by himself. We just kind of jumped in and helped. You know, it was his class. I mean, he was the instructor, but it was clear the need.
Yeah. I was keeping knives sharp. Dad was helping teach. It was
Mike was doing all the teaching. I was just helping like where I was needed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it was like, but that's the beauty of this, that's the real beauty of being able to work with a lot of, with some of the people in this space, man. It was like, I was talking to Janet today when William and I went out there. When I say Janet, she owns,
Cloud Nine
Farm. Yeah. And that's where the Homestead Jamboree was. The Homesteaders United Jamboree was. I went out there to go flip these piles with William. And, you know, we're out there talking and stuff. And I told her, I said, you know, that's really where you find out what some of these folks are made of when you do work together.
Yeah.
When you do hard work together. And I was telling her, because she was asking, like, you know, who's real, who isn't in this space? Because a lot of people are suspicious. And I'm like, you know, hey, if I associate with them, like, you know, the Holler family showed up, they do real work. Jason from Sow the Land, he showed up, they do real work. And then people make certain assumptions, I think, based on some of the other channels and some of the rumors that are out there. Some of them very well are true.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you can judge a lot by these folks by working with them. You get out there, you find out real quick when you do work, hard work with somebody. And then, you know, when you know that person is every bit as tired as you. And Mike Dixon, I mean, he's over here doing his thing.
Covered in feathers.
And with babies on his back while he was setting it up, you know, I mean, he's carrying a baby on his back. And that's where you really find out where a lot of people are, find out what they're made of. You know, when they get tired, that's really where you find out. That's the beauty, I think, of doing physical work, is that you find out somebody's real character when things get tough.
And I'll say, having been asked this multiple times, if you are suspicious about a channel, you are probably right.
Well, some of them, not all the time. I mean, some people just assume that because they know this other person is potentially a fraud.
Right.
That, you know, they assume everybody else is, until they get to know you a little bit out there and they realize, man, I'm burning a candle at both ends. In fact, folks, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I've been exhausted. It's like my adrenals or something are burned out. I don't know. It's like all of us are absolutely spent. Because you're going at 100 miles an hour out here. You're trying to set this thing up. Tim and Sophie, you're out there doing all the logistical stuff on their end. Mike's doing the logistical stuff on his end. Looking like the Beverly Hillbillies coming down the road. Got them chickens in the back of that truck coming all the way from Eastern North Carolina. Chickens and ducks. Feathers flying all over the road. And then, you know, they show up to this thing. And then,
I didn't even think about that. They had to bring them with them.
Dude, he sent me a picture, man. I was rolling. Absolutely rolling. And then it's not enough that, from a logistical standpoint, what people don't know behind the scenes is that when you show up there, okay, so you had to show up a day early, but you can't leave those chickens. I mean,
you still got to manage the animals.
Well, so which means you got to set up another net.
Mm-hmm.
We got to set up a tent to keep them, to keep the hawks and the owls from killing them.
Yeah.
And so your work ain't done. I mean, they're out there, but you had to set up a whole new paddock for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he stuck him in the garden, which was a great place for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got all that squared away, but man, the work's only begun.
Yeah.
But that's really, I mean, honestly, talking to Janet out there, that's really the long and short of it, y'all. That's, man, I can't even begin to tell you, like, this next weekend coming up, I'm going to be, and I'll talk about that more in a minute, but the Midwest Preparedness Project, their festival actually kicks off tomorrow, and that's September 3rd through the 8th. I'm going to be there Friday and part of Saturday, mostly Friday. I'm going to be processing birds with Darren from Hacks for the Homesteader.
It starts tomorrow?
Yeah, this thing goes for a while.
Oh, wow. That's a long festival.
Yeah, they don't play around, man. And you talk about giveaways, man. I have never. They don't charge anything for it.
Wow.
They don't charge anything. In fact, they don't even make any money on it. The idea, well, not that anybody really does in any of these things. but the idea is it's to get community together. If that's your idea, I haven't been to this one in years, but, you know, Bobby and the gang over there, man, they really lay it out. But going back to what we were saying here, I'll be honest with you, man. I never had so many people from all the times the festivals you and I have done. And I don't know that I've ever, because it's impossible for you to see this thing from any other perspective than your own. And from our perspective, I'm like, okay, you don't know what went right. You don't, all you know is what went wrong when somebody comes up to you. Like the lady came up to me and says, hey, I'm trying to, you know, I just got finished butchering chickens and I'm trying to eat dinner here in a minute, but there ain't no water in the washing station. So, you know.
And the porta potty people said they'll be there tomorrow.
Right, but that's a problem now.
Yeah.
You know, the porta potties apparently weren't filled up, but the hand washing station, and I'm like, no, that is not acceptable.
Yeah.
Even though you and I had just got finished doing a goat and then helping Mike with the ducks. And then we did an impromptu class the following day with the chickens, which turned out to be honestly, I never had so many people come up to me and say, man, this is the best festival I ever went to.
And an impromptu class with the tree guilds and stuff that, which you can all buy at the Farm Connection. You can buy a complete, like the most popular video I have on YouTube at the Permaculture Consultant is how to put up like a permaculture tree guild. You can buy all of that from the Farm Connection.
But there ain't another place I know of you can do that.
There's no other place where you can buy all seven layers of a forest, of a forest in one location. Because that one was just based off what you could get at Tractor Supply. And now I only had like three or four layers of a forest.
As I understand it, they ship. And like I said, folks, I don't have a promo code for you. We don't get anything out of it. I'm in full disclosure. I mean, we really don't get anything out of it other than supplying you with a place where, because one of the biggest frustrations in advising somebody is you got to go to 10 different places. Well, I mean, that's what they're trying to be, a one-stop shop. And I think it's going to really pay off for them because for some reason, nobody else seemed to have figured that out. We did a while back and, they're the first ones to actually take the suggestion. So, I mean, Allison, I don't know how she does it, man. I mean, I really don't know how they do what they do over there, but they were out there mixing seeds. They got the seed blend that's fantastic, and I can't wait to try it out over here. I know it's every bit as good as the one we've talked about before at Peaceful Valley, but, man, who has 2 months to wait on seeds?
Right, yeah.
You know, and then, honestly, they made a mix I thought that was even better.
The edible wildflower mix? Is that the one you're talking about?
No, it's a low-growing good bug blend they call it. And I mean, it's a good mix, no doubt. But this one is at least made in a part of the country that I think that's temperate.
Yeah.
You know, and I know their seeds are on point, and I couldn't be more happy with the mix they got so far. So we'll be giving that one a shot here before too long. And like I said, go check them out. But you know, going back to this farm thing, we went out to Jan, as far as farm news, we went out to Janet's today. For the folks that went to that festival, you're going to know what I'm talking about. But we set up, let me see, it was Tuesday last week that Michelle and I went out there and set up one pile so we could have one to show what it looks like when you flip it.
Yeah.
And here it is Monday the following week, and that pile looks like it's nearly done.
Yeah. Yeah, done flipping.
Yeah, but we got one more flip on it. And the cool thing about it is that Janet at her farm, when this stuff is all said and done, she is going to have some unbelievable unbelievable compost when this whole thing is all said and done. So,
which I don't think you mentioned that you did teach a compost class there as well.
Well,
you did the goat and the compost. Well, yeah, I'm just saying I don't think you mentioned that earlier.
Oh yeah. So we did a compost class. It was an in-person class. First time we've ever done it. In fact, if anybody's ever done it at a festival, I don't know about it.
A hands-on compost class.
Yeah. Not one in front of a chalkboard or not one in front of a projector or anything like that, like hands-on composting. And I really want to make that a mainstay in anything that we do from here on out.
Yeah, because it's the most important part of your farm. If you can figure out composting, then you can fix it. You can figure out every problem in your farm.
And it's the most confusing part for so many people.
Yeah.
Because there are things you can't possibly convey in a video like, okay, what should it smell like? Well, I brought out some finished compost and said, okay, smell it. What do you smell? It should smell like good, deep forest soil. Okay, what does it look like? And then I had a candy bar, 70% cocoa. That I had in a mobile fridge out there. And I'm like, okay, what does it look like? It should be pretty doggone close to the color of that 70% cocoa. And then, you know, how does it feel? Well, the moisture content, and then boy, well, speaking of moisture, then it started raining after a while.
Yeah.
Kind of threw me off my game, but that wasn't the only thing that threw me off my game, but I'm going to cover that in the main topic. But by and large, man, I got to say I didn't know what to make of it. I'll be honest with you. I really didn't know what to make of the festival because I'm working the whole time. When I say I'm working, I mean, I'm honestly moving 100%, driving all the way back at night, trying to hang out and meet everybody and hang out and get to know folks. And you just always feel, I always feel like I know that I'm giving 110%, but I always feel like I shortchanged at least one person.
Yeah, and I think you feel like that every festival because you're talking to somebody and then you get pulled away somehow and you plan on getting back to that conversation and then it never happens. And then, yeah, I felt like that way with Eli.
Yeah, I felt like that all the way around is that you just never feel as if you spend enough time with the people that are there. That's one thing that I think they do really right at Midwest Preparedness Project is that they do have it from, from the 3rd to the 8th. So you can, and then, everybody's camping. It's on the campsite. Everybody's out there. One thing I think we would want to change from doing this again would be, and Janet talked about this too, is that she even thought about like maybe showers.
Yeah.
Having showers on site or mobile showers because, man, you can't expect somebody to do a bunch of processing and then not have a place to go take a shower. So that's an improvement that will surely be made next time out.
Yeah, I agree. But I think from my perspective, I think the festival went like, because I wasn't a part of the whole logistical stuff beforehand. I think the festival, like I had a different perspective than Dad did. I think the festival went pretty well. I think it was a good, well-taught festival, and I think it went pretty well.
Well, judging by the response, I mean, like, I don't think anybody's actually going to come up and say, man, this place sucked.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that you're necessarily going to hear that, but honestly, I've been to many festivals before and I've never had as many people come up and say, man, this was the cat's meow, man.
They might not say it sucked. They just won't say anything.
Yeah, maybe that's the case. And then there was other people saying, please put this thing on again. Please put this thing on again. There was just so many unbelievable sweet people, but we'll come to that in a minute. All right. So speaking of Midwest Preparedness Project, coming up September 3rd through the 8th, that's going to be tomorrow and through the 8th. Good night, man. That's going to be out there in Lawrence, Kansas. I'm going to be there on Friday. I'm going to fly in Friday morning and I'm going to be teaching in that I'm not sure what the schedule is exactly. I know I'm going to be flying out Friday and then I'm going to be there for a day or two. I wish I could stay longer, but my grandbaby's here. So I'm going to be playing with her as long as I possibly can. So I'm going to fly out there. We're going to be showing you that chicken method that we used out there, the strong bond method.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe how many people were digging that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's an awesome method. If you're limited on freezer space and you have a lot of chickens to put away, it's the best way.
I mean, we put in that video we did a few years ago now, Good night, man. I think we put 40 birds in there and we had space. We could have probably put up to 60 had we done it.
It's a method that's useful even if you don't raise chickens, because then you can buy cheaper whole chickens at the store.
That's right.
And then break them down yourself. If you could buy them in bulk and then freeze them if you wanted to.
You could. You could and save yourself a pile of money.
Yeah.
I mean, and then plus with that method, we're showing people how to break down a doggone chicken without even having to take the guts out. So if you want to learn that method, y'all, we're going to be at the Midwest Preparedness Project. There's going to be a lot of other awesome people out there, too. Callie Blackwell is going to be there and a number of others.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, Callie's going to be there. Tag, he's going to be there. Bobby, Patrick, I mean, Darren from Hacks for the Homesteaders. I mean, you can go to their website and go check it out, MidwestPreparednessProject.com. And folks, I'm 100% sure you're not going to be disappointed. And then plus, while I'm out there, I'm going to get some of those duck fat fries from the Casbah.
I think that's what the building is called. The actual restaurant is called the Burger Stand.
The Burger Stand, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of the guys, I addressed it in, I think, the last program where, yeah, it's still there. And, you know, Papa Kino's used to be great. I don't know what it's like now.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
I forgot about it.
I can't eat none of that, but I mean, I can definitely eat them fries, and I can eat a burger without the bun right now. But I'm going to be there. But also coming up not long after that, for anybody that wants some more in-depth detail, I mean, we can only go so far. How long was that processing class we did with the goat? I mean, it was from start to finish.
Like 2 hours?
Might have been.
Something like that.
It was from start to finish. And that's what this is the stuff that people just don't get to see unless you do it on private property. That's the problem with some of these bigger festivals, is that they're done in like an antiseptic
not public property or not private property, I should say.
Right.
I don't want to like snitch on anybody. You know what I mean?
Well, unless we just kind of do it on the sly, you know, nine times out of 10, that's the one of the downsides, is that you don't see how to properly dispatch the animal, which we were able to show.
Yep.
So we show how to take the shot, how to bleed them out, how to get that done, how to gut and skin, and then how to break them down. Now, this goat was, he wasn't very big. I mean, well, he didn't have a whole lot of meat on him, but it didn't stop us from eating his butt later on that night. And we totally respected every part of him. And everybody got to see that all the things that we didn't eat in that goat ended up in that compost pile,
which is going to feed the entire farm.
Exactly. So it's a self-licking ice cream cone, folks. That's why you got to learn these skills. So everything went into those piles. And so now people realize, hey, when we say this, we're not lying about it, man. That was the beauty about being able to do it in that order, where we could process this animal. We ate the animal, and then all the other things the microbes are eating, which are going to make some incredible compost, along with all the chicken guts and the duck guts and the feathers and everything. We put them all in that compost pile.
Mm-hmm.
That's why these in-person courses, where it's like Greg Judy always said, man, don't go to a farm. Don't ever go up to a class at a farm that doesn't offer a pasture walk.
Yeah.
So yeah. There's some good classroom instruction out there, y'all, but I am really trying to get away. There are things that can be learned in the classroom, don't get me wrong, but it's impossible for me to convey what it's like. It's nearly impossible, but that taking me back to that pig processing that we got going on at Jason at So the Land's Place, that's going to be October 25th and 26th. And then we got another class 15th and the 16th. And through those classes, you're going to see two different techniques, but because they're 2-day classes apiece and all we're doing is processing a pig, I can really, really slow down. The weather is going to be cooler, so we don't have to hurry things up because bugs are getting on things or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're going to be fed and you're going to get top-notch instruction, because, you know, we got a number of us there that are doing this, and you're going to see up close and personal just how we take the fear factor out of it. So that's really, if you want to really get some in-depth instruction, go check it out. So the Land has a link. We also have one here at our website. And then, okay, before we get into the good news, well, all the good news, Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. My dogs right now is on this Redemption Shield mat, which it wasn't just a moment ago, but it's on there right now. But anyway, all your grounding needs. Look, folks, I don't know if there's another podcast out there talking about grounding more than me, because it's really that important. In fact, William, you jumped on that pulse electric magnetic field mat that we have next door.
Oh, and
it's
yeah.
basically giving you 8 hours of grounding in about 24 minutes.
Yeah. So I've been doing 75 hard. Today is 37. Today is day 37. And yeah, I mean, like you get accumulation, like you just get worn out and tired. And whenever I first started it, I was in Texas and I was doing my ruck marches on flat ground because everything is flat where I live in Texas. And then I started, you know, adjusting, getting used to it and stuff like that. And then I came out here and started doing my ruck marches or my hikes through the mountains. And then different parts of my legs started getting sore, like my hips area, like my hips, those are really the parts that started getting sore. Same with my calves. And I laid on that thing for what, 24, 25 minutes?
24 minutes.
And I didn't notice a big difference at first, but when I went out there to do my second workout for the day, that's when I've noticed a big difference, that I don't have that tightness. I don't have that like soreness or anything like that. It almost feels like cheating.
yeah, it almost does. But basically, it goes right back to grounding. I mean, that's what it's doing. It's that thing is really incredible. I mean, it's pricey, but that's why I don't have them as, that's why I'm not using them as an advertiser on this show, because you can go out there, get yourself grounded. But even, you know, it's like Dr. Brian Artis, and I've talked about him a lot as of late. Like he talks about, look, think about grounding when you're sleeping. So buy a grounding mat that you can put under your fitted sheet. And you can even buy a test kit there and you can ground all night when you're sleeping. So there it is, like 8 hours or whatever it is you sleep.
And if you don't have a ground to your house, I just did a video not too long ago on how to like retrofit that.
Oh, so, you did? Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So I pounded a ground rod outside the bedroom window and then just ran that soft drawn copper through the window and then basically just clipped the mat to that.
Well, they even have stuff out there. I should have sent it to you when I sent that mat, is that they actually have a kit with, I forget how long the cord is, but you can actually take that rod, push it in the ground and do it the very same way. Or if you're in an apartment, this stuff, I mean, you look, y'all, we use this stuff and there is nothing on this show that where like with Redemption Shield, you know, as a 27 year journeyman electrician, y'all, IBEW trained. I mean, I'm here to tell you, I am a big believer in grounding. So, yeah, go check them out. Get 10% off with promo code PERMA. All right, so let's get into the good news here, son. So hundreds of doctors resigned from the British Medical Association for its support for the LGBTQRX child mutilations. So finally, these British doctors are starting to say, you know what, man? I've had enough of this stuff. This is not medicine.
Yeah,
this is not needed. I mean, it wasn't long ago that this would have been considered a mental illness.
That's what Peru calls it now.
Yeah.
Peru calls it a mental illness.
How
now.
About that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe, and you know, sadly, what it takes, and I've talked about this numerous times on the program, is like Victor Hugo wrote, adversity makes men, prosperity makes monsters.
Yeah.
So we've been prosperous for quite a while. And when you have this level of depravity, it takes some hard times, and folks, it's about to get harder. This is why we're encouraging you so much to go to these festivals. If you think somebody's making profit on this, I got news for you. We lost money out of this deal.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I'm dead serious.
Yeah, no, I just didn't expect you to say that.
No.
That's why I'm laughing. It caught me off guard.
No. I mean, seriously, as a business here at the house, we lost money, your mom and I. We lost a lot of money really by doing this because so much effort was put into doing this that other business interests didn't get squared away. So it means more to us. I mean, you know, you put your money where your mouth is. I mean, it means more to us to be able to train people to go out here and know how to do compost, to train people to go out here and do these other things. So this is exactly what I'm talking about. I know that doesn't have a whole lot to do with the article there, but the point being is that things are about to get tougher and tougher and tougher, and this is all manufactured. And there's a number of people out there, like, you know, that I met at that festival, EJ and Alyssa, that honestly, man, it was like I was looking in the mirror, me and your mom. Mm.
The ones up the road?
No. There were so many people there. I could say that they were just the first ones that popped into my head, but there were so many people at that festival. I mean, Amy out there and Mark, I mean, good night. She gave me this card and put money in it and a lot of money, actually. And I was like, you got to be kidding me, man. I mean, it was just such a joy. And I'm going to tell you where some of that actually went. Amy, you have no idea. In fact, this program is partially dedicated to you as well. So anyway, things are going to get weird. They're going to get tough. But folks, it means everything to us to be in a position where we can train y'all and get you up to snuff, because a lot of people are new to this. And yeah. Now you're able to see composting three-dimensionally. You are able to see and put your hands on processing an animal. You could do that three-dimensionally. It means everything, man. Go out there, watch all the videos you want. But at the end of the day, you have got to put foot to butt. And that's exactly what we're training you for. So next good news story. Okay, Cornel West proposes creating a COVID-19 truth commission, vaccine safety and utilization panel to restore public health. How about that? So Dr. Cornel West, I've had my disagreements with the man in the past, but I got to say, there are times where it's him, honest liberals like himself and Dr. Naomi Wolf, both of them I think are PhDs, or not that that even matters, but honest liberals that used to be on the far, far left are now saying, this was screwed up from the beginning. And everybody on the left intelligentsia has basically snubbed their nose at these people. I mean, Cornel yeah. West, I mean, you know what? Hey, your black privilege, man, means nothing when it comes to the vaccine police. So, yeah, when you got people like him speaking up saying, hey.
Yeah, believe me, Dad tried. Dad tried to pull the black card in Asheville with the masks and stuff, and it still didn't work.
Yeah, I tried to. I'll tell you what, let him do it again. Do it again.
I'll come up to town just for that video.
Yeah.
I'll help you film it.
I'm going to make the most viral video y'all have ever seen. They'll probably have to go on TikTok, dude, because I don't think YouTube would ever play what I'm going to do. It's going to be so far.
It's going to have to go on Rumble.
Yeah. This thing is going to be so far over the top, it's going to probably break the internet if they pull this whole mask thing again. I mean, right before this election, I mean, every time you turn around, it's something else. But like I said, this thing is going to be so far over the top, and I'm probably going to lose subscribers over it. People are going to say, that's not a Christian thing to do. Well, the best way to combat a lot of this nonsense that's going on is humor.
Yeah.
If you can laugh at these people, it's like Lou Rockwell said years ago, man. The thing that the power elite hate the most is being mocked.
Yeah.
They cannot stand being mocked. But yeah, Cornel West is out there. Naomi Wolf, Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, that is, Bobby Kennedy Jr., a number of others out here. And what's happening? The left is basically shooting these people down or not even giving them airplay. When any day of the week you could catch Cornel West, all he had to do was raise his hand and he was on MSNBC. I mean, there's times he was been on Fox News or whatever. They won't touch him with a 10-foot pole right now. Wow. You can believe that. So, but there's times where Cornel West, man, he says some stuff that's pretty doggone profound. And I've always enjoyed that part in Immortal Technique song where he says, "Rise up, young brother. It's not your time to die." You remember hearing that part?
Yeah, but I don't know what that's from. Is that Cornel West?
Yeah, it was Cornel West that was saying that.
Oh.
Rise up, young brother. It's not your time to die.
Huh.
It wasn't anything profound. It was just how he said it. It was.
And the timing of and the song as well. Yeah.
So it made sense. So the last one, cancer researchers, check this out, y'all. And this is going to be for some of you folks that were, that were misled. Cancer research. Check this out. Ivermectin can overcome chemotherapy resistance to turbo cancers caused by mRNA vaccines. Now, once again, you're not going to hear that from the mainstream prostitutes. Another one is fenbendazole. Huh. Is it curious that all of a sudden, the lady down at the local farm store, I talked to her a while back and she said, man, she said, Billy, it's getting real tough to get any. I mean, because I bought everything they had. I left a few on there because I didn't want to be that guy to just take everything, you know. But, I mean, I got everything that they could stand or they would let me have regarding ivermectin and fenbendazole. And they, you know, and once again, going right back to Brian Artis and Dr. Edward Group and a number of others out there that have been saying this from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
From the very beginning. Now, how many people have died of turbo cancers that didn't have to when all they needed was ivermectin and fenbendazole? Yeah, say that 10 times. But anyway, yeah, it's now starting to hit the streets and people are starting to hopefully get it.
You know, one thing I've noticed is that no matter which culture you go to across the world, they all have their own deal, their own way of dealing with cancer. And not one of them involves chemo, like a natural way to deal with cancer. And not one of them involves radiation.
Well, how about how many of them just say, hey, let's not get it in the, you know, they're like, hey, let's march for the cause or let's march for the cure. But why ain't anybody marching for the cause
or the prevention?
There you go. I mean, nobody wants to touch any of that.
Yeah.
But that's where we get down to brass tacks with a lot of this stuff, folks. So you ought to have it in your medicine cabinet anyway. I mean, say what you want. I'm not going to tell y'all what to do, but yes, I use the horse paste and I use it prophylactically every Monday. Michelle and I take some of this. I think we missed today, actually.
Mm.
So I'll need to get that done. But yeah, we take it prophylactically, and a number of others do as well. I understand you could possibly overdo it, but man, with all the junk they got out there and the stuff they are intentionally, and then other things that aren't helping, you got to stay away from sugar. I mean, it just feeds cancer.
Yeah.
And then
it's like, okay, this is something that I learned during my PDC. Sugar is processed the same way as cocaine, as heroin. It's the same exact process. Same exact process.
How about that?
White sugar, I'm talking about. White sugar is processed the exact same way.
Yeah, but you know, you actually get medicinal properties from like honey or some of the other things out
there.
Or
even raw sugar cane. There's like, you can chew on raw sugar cane and there's still a medicinal value to it.
Yeah, but here, you know, everything they provide you, everything that you find on those shelves, 9 times out of 10 is bad for you. So folks, maybe it's something simple. Maybe it's just starting off with, hey, you know what? I'm going to stay away from the white sugar. I'm going to just start there. I know a lot of people, you know, it's before long. I mean, you think it's already the holiday season, man. They already got like Halloween stuff that was been out there for like 2-3 weeks now.
Yeah, they've been having Halloween stuff out for a while now. Like down in Texas, they've had it like July is when they started. It was like after 4th of July, they kind of started pushing out the Halloween stuff.
I'll bet Christmas stuff is on the shelves at Walmart right now. I'll bet any amount of money.
I bet it's at Lowe's.
Yeah.
I don't know how they get that stuff up so quickly, but it's like as soon as Halloween is over, it's like bam.
Yeah.
Christmas stuff is
next day. Yeah, I don't even think it's gone yet. And they already start off with the next thing. You know, jump right over Thanksgiving, man. There's barely any mention of that, which is my favorite holiday, which is really only two holidays that we celebrate. But or at least, you know, your mom and I celebrate. But the point of it being is that, I mean, you could avoid, going back to this whole cancer article, I mean, there's so much of this you can avoid just by avoiding what they just, I mean, when you look at what the recommended diet is for a person that's battling cancer, it's everything that feeds cancer.
Yeah.
There was a lady that told me that recently. And then when you look at some of the other things as well, it's like over and over and over again, like it's not necessarily the wheat. I mean, okay, if you doubt me, when I was a kid, you could open up Wonder Bread, and you know what? If you had to sit on the counter long enough, you would actually get mold on it.
Yeah.
You don't get mold on it now.
Nope.
So,
same thing with like, what is it? McDonald's burger buns.
We actually, check this out. We actually did that experiment when I was working at the VA.
Mm.
We took a Happy Meal, and I bet it's still sitting there on the shelf right now. We took a Happy Meal, the burger, the bun, the fries. And then, of course, we dumped out the Coke, right? Because obviously it would eat right through the cup, which ought to tell you something right there.
Yeah.
It was eating through the cup. That's why we got rid of it. Somebody had talked about this experiment. Now, I think it didn't rot. It didn't stink. It didn't do nothing. And bugs didn't mess with it.
Yeah.
That is not real food.
If you would like a soda alternative, check out Zevia. Zevia seems to be a pretty good soda alternative. It's just carbonated water, natural flavoring, and stevia. And like sometimes monk fruit on some of the flavors.
Yeah, I remember Mike the Fit Farmer and his family, when they were over, man, his kids loved it.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's like a pretty close alternative. I mean, it tastes slightly different, but it's just like a different brand of whatever soda you like to drink.
I don't really mess with soda in any form. I mean, I just don't really care for it. I mean, well.
You like those craft ones every once in a while.
Yeah, I like those. Yeah, on a holiday or something, I'll drink one of them. You know, it ain't going to be no Coke. It ain't going to be none of one of those. I mean, on a holiday now, I will drink some soda then, and it'll be something like, I mean, it's going to be super high end. They ain't cheap, but now I don't drink that much of them anyhow.
Yeah.
So I can afford, you know, to pay for I mean, that's about the only time, maybe 2-3 times a year, I might have a soda or something. But, you know, folks, just look, don't feed the beast. I mean, that's one thing where I did love what I heard of Robert Kennedy. Now, is he actually going to do it? Is he actually, you know, instead of putting him in as, you know, somebody at the FDA where they're just going to undo everything he does, maybe put him over there at the Justice Department and like his dad was, and maybe just start arresting all these people that are intentionally murdering us. So anyway, folks, didn't mean to go so far sideways there, but yeah, ivermectin, fenbendazole. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm going to tell you I get it all the time. With that, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, identifying burnout. Burnout is actually a recognized medical disorder. It is defined as a prolonged response to chronic emotional and interpersonal stressors on the job and is characterized by three dimensions of overwhelming exhaustion, cynicism and detachment, and a sense of ineffectiveness and lack of accomplishment. Much like symptoms of depression, burnout will asphyxiate your ambition, idealism, and sense of worth, and the onset and effects can be subtle. Very much like the frog in boiling water analogy, you don't notice it until it's too late. Burnout actually alters your neural circuitry and makes you more susceptible to negative thoughts and emotions. And there are 6 triggers of burnout. 1, lack of control. 2, values conflict. 3, insufficient reward. 4, work overload. 5, unfairness. 6, breakdown in community. And you must know the cause to solve the burnout problem. You can actually identify which triggers you are more susceptible to by taking the Maslach Burnout Inventory, which you can find online. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. If you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog right there. And I'll tell you what, next festival, I'd love to bring Eric in.
Yeah, no kidding.
I would love to bring Eric in for a whole variety of things. I mean, people enjoy his wisdom on here. And I mean, he's an incredible, he's an instructor's instructor, y'all. He'll never tell you that. But I mean, he's been a mentor to both me and William and Michelle, really. He's been an extraordinary blessing to our whole family.
He's the reason I went out to Jeff Lawton's.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I mean, he brokered all that. I mean, yeah. Yeah, and selfless beyond words. I mean, he has a selfless nature, and he's just one of those people, man, that when you get to know him, I mean, he's one of the rare people in this world, and he actually fits in the category of the people I'm about to talk about here in this main topic.
But also the best virtual consultant I've ever seen. Some of his clients have, like, that are closer to me have hit me up for, like, in-person consultations, and I've seen some of his work as virtual consultation, and I'm like, I can't improve upon this. This is insane. He's the best virtual consultant I've ever seen.
But he's also talking about something that's very real. I don't know that I've ever felt, I mean, in my life, I don't know that I've ever felt burnout until recently. And that's crazy coming from me because, man, I've worked on jobs where, well, that's not entirely true. I remember working 7 days a week, 12 to 16 hours a day. And I did it for 4 months straight at the Corvette factory in Bowling Green, Kentucky, when I was trying to get the money to basically get to this lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I had damaged my back and I had never had back problems. I mean, I'd gotten to the point where I was a complete mess. I mean, I needed, oh my goodness, man. I needed complete, absolutely convalescence for quite a while just to recover from that. But regarding the burnout, like recently, a lot of you, I mean, I can't think of anything more fitting because right now I'm feeling it in a massive way. I haven't had a day off in, I mean, burning the candle at both ends for quite a while. I'm doing what I love, but honestly, it was like today, man, I just couldn't get going. I couldn't. And the day before I couldn't get going. It was right after this festival. It's like some kind of adrenal burnout, man. It's always, Eric always just drops whatever's needed right on this program when it's needed.
And he also explained it in a way that actually made sense. Cause a lot of people use the excuse burnout as a reason to not continue doing something. And I've always just viewed it as like, oh, you're just quitting, but you're calling it burnout. You're just quitting. He explained it in a way that actually made like, and like it was an actual thing. Cause I've always been like, Yeah, I don't know.
Well, what does that mean? You know, when somebody says I'm burned right. out, I don't know what that means. I'm like, okay, is that a lazy person telling me that you can't? Because right. I'm looking, when I hear burn, I'm not with everybody, but when a person says I'm burned out, that's so subjective. I don't know how to quantify that.
And in fact, the times that I have been told that it has mostly been lazy people, because he just showed you how to identify the problem and then fix the problem and then continue on, not completely quit and then be done with it.
Yeah. For me, it's getting to the point where I of those symptoms, I can identify at least one in myself, and I'm knowing that I'm near the end. I'm going to get a little break for a while, but I have been burning the candle at both ends, like right. so many people out there. So, and then your mom, she was really feeling it, and it was manifesting itself. It was manifesting itself in her in a much different way, where it may come out more emotionally. Whereas for me, I may be short, or I may be this, or I may be that. But honestly, it's also knowing that you got light at the end of the tunnel too.
Yeah.
Because it's not as if I'm doing work I don't love. It's just, it's requiring so much out of me that the people care. Like Eric always says to me, it starts with yourself.
Right.
And that part gets neglected, especially like in your case where you're, you know, as a man, you're putting yourself always behind your wife and your baby.
Yeah.
It's always going to be that way. So you're like, okay, I got to put bread on the table. I got to do this. I got customers, I got clients, I got all these other people that have to get looked at as well. And you try to balance these things, and everybody else out there is dealing with it too. But, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you what really helps me a great deal in the burnout part of it is working out with your mom. I mean, that was really, despite the fact that the workload up until this festival, and you're always, and then afterwards, you're always thinking, okay, well, why did I worry about this when it wasn't, you know, that big a concern? You always do this with the benefit of hindsight. But up until that point, I'm like, man, people are spending a lot of money to be here. I want to make absolutely positively sure I give them the best version of myself. And I never feel as if I always feel like I shortchange somebody. I mean, maybe that's a good way to, maybe at the same time, that's also a good way to, I can't stand the people that like, well, I got their money.
Yeah. Or walking around like, yeah, I'm the shiznit.
Yeah. I got their money. Or, and there's people in this space that do that.
Absolutely.
In fact, yeah, some people kind of wrote in about that. But anyway, once again, hat tip to Eric. Remember, go check it out. In fact, I'm wearing one of his shirts right now. William's looking down to see if he had one on.
Yeah, because I still wear his shirts all the doggone time. I need to replenish them.
Yeah,
because they're getting a little worn out now.
Yeah, mine are becoming a little bit threadbare. I need to have your mom go order all of them all over again. But yeah, go. I mean, he's got the ball in his t-shirts out there, y'all. So go check them out. Also, I mean, like I said, I mean, unimpeachable ethics, high moral standard. I mean, the highest you're ever going to find. And I'm lucky to be able to call him my friend. And honestly, I'm going to do everything I can to get him at the next one.
And that'd be cool.
Yeah, I'd love to have him out here. Eric, you know, we can get him out here and work together on some stuff, maybe do some composting. And honestly, just getting another person's perspective besides our own.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, all right, y'all, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Remember, 27-year journeyman electrician, they didn't reach out to me, y'all. I reached out to EMP Shield just like every other advertiser on this program. I reach out and I do the best. I've installed transient voltage surge suppressors all over the United States of Amnesia. And the only one I put my seal of approval on is EMP Shield, because like I said, you find me another company out there, find me one that will cover you for 25 G's if anything in your house gets Kentucky fried with their device on it. Ain't gonna find it. Also, the stuff for their vehicles, look, things jump off, and they are, and they're going to probably in some extent or another, depending on what it is. Look, you're not going to the club, you're going home, or you're going to your bug out spot. Either way, EMP Shield's got you covered, and that's why they are a sponsor of the show. They were also an awesome sponsor of the Homesteaded Uniters Jamboree. So I want to make sure I give them another hat tip. EMP Shield, want to thank them so much for their support. $50 off with promo code PERMA. All right. Kind of teased it a little bit. We're going to get into the main topic here. Teased it a little bit earlier. Folks, I can't even begin to tell you the joy I had meeting like Angela and her sister and the little baby, cute little baby that came out. Angela Stovner, I've read her emails a number of times on this program. And maybe I shouldn't call it program because this isn't programming. But anyway, it was so awesome to be able to meet so many of these people in person. And people that you feel like you want to know more through, that you know to a certain extent, maybe through email. Folks, I love the selfless people out there. And it's when you go to things like this where you find the full extent of how selfless people are. Like Amy, I mentioned a minute ago, didn't give me permission to use her last name, but man, she had me in tears, honestly, when she handed me that card. And I was like, man, you felt so... I mean, you were so gracious and kind to offer that financial gift that was just, and believe me, it was spent on something that was honestly worth it, Amy. And hat tip and love to you and yours out there. Part of it went to what I'm going to get to here in a moment. I'm going to leave a number of people out there, but I'm just going to throw a couple out there because the program can't be that long. There's a point I'm making here. When you go to these things, and like I said, you got Midwest Preparedness coming right up, you're going to find out so many of us out there. In fact, I dare say, son, tell me if I'm wrong. How many people out there do you think feel like, you know, they're just absolutely marginalized where they come from?
Most of them. I mean, most of the people I do consultations with are feel that way. They feel they've either moved because they felt that way in their location, or they feel that way in their current location. They feel like there's nobody else that views the world the way I do. There's nobody else that understands why I'm doing any of this. And there's nobody else to really like bounce ideas off, or just even like you say, commiserate with sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, just to commiserate and say, oh my goodness, man.
Like those. Doggone sheep got out again.
Yeah. I mean, but you find that community even for a day, and then you find out that people, even when the thing's over, they linger because they know some of these folks got long drives, you know, and they're reluctant to even leave because it's, and I always call it the Isle of Misfit Toys every time we have one of these, because all of us are basically misfits wherever we come from. And we have this community, and you're surrounded by people that you wish you were neighbors with, or they lived in closer proximity. And most of us just don't have that, us included.
Yeah.
And the only time you find that is at these festivals. And honestly, it's part of the solution of burnout, I think, is being in the company of so many incredible, selfless people, like the Homestead Twins. Eric and Paul, they got a YouTube channel, folks. If you're not subscribed, go check them out. Really, you're going to be glad you did.
I checked out their channel earlier. They have some really good content out there.
They do.
They look like they've been doing it for years.
Yeah. Well, and I think to a high extent they have. But, I mean, these guys show up every time I see them. Man, they drop these stickers that are so high quality, I don't even know where you could go to buy them.
And they have them for sale. Like this Permaculture Pimpcast sticker, they have that one. They have the... was it the pedophile reformation plan?
My new favorite sticker right now.
It's a pedophile going feet first through the wood chipper. And it's an awesome sticker.
And the sticker is so detailed. I'm like, I can't believe how much effort they put into this, but it shows. It absolutely shows. But here's what I'm talking about, y'all. I didn't pay them for this. And they do it every single time. Like stickers that you can put on the comfrey or, you know, I mean, just... out of the way gifts that are just fantastic. And then when you talk to these guys, man, these are like friends. I mean, I call them friends. I hope they view me the same way too. But I mean, I've met them before, Michelle and I told y'all, I mean, these guys are always like the life of every party. I guarantee it. Yeah. Both of them just will have you in stitches.
And just in their speech.
Yeah. It's just their diction and the way they talk and then just the way they think, but they are wicked smart. And They're like we're doing like a impromptu consultation later on that night.
Right.
And I'm like, you guys have already thought of everything, man. It was like these guys had put so much work. I won't go into the nature of what it was, but they put so much work into projects they're working on and it shows. But I'm like, in addition to their busy lives, you took time out of your day, man, to come out here, offer, you know, technical advice, mm-hmm. whether I think it was Paul that offered some of the technical advice that we need.
Yeah.
And he's a whiz at that stuff. And then you got Eric, you know, making these stickers that are such incredible high quality. I don't even want to give them away, man. They're that incredible.
He sells them too. Yeah. You can go check him out and buy stickers from him. They're
probably
awesome.
Even commission him to get some done, which yeah. I'm going to hit him up for. I'm going to see if we can buy some from him. But I mean, like showing up, and then he made some other folks some stickers. To my, you know, I don't know the full extent of that, but I it's when somebody comes up and they do something that is so incredibly kind, and you know that you already have an incredible affinity with these people. You're like, man, I just wish I could just hang out here for a week straight. You know, maybe we can go down here, bring some poles next time we go fishing down, you know, go trout fishing down here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little too hot for that right now. But I mean, the point being, these are all people that you just absolutely find unbelievable and selfless. Let me just kind of hit on somebody in particular. And his name is Bill Zegley. And you're going to find him out there at Midwest Preparedness Project, at the Midwest Preparedness Project, the one coming up this weekend. Let me tell you what happened. And I can only go so deeply into this, but I've known Bill for a little while now. And if anybody's been to any of these festivals, you've seen him before. And he's one of those guys, selfless beyond words.
Always helping.
Always asking, you know, what can I do to help? Even though you already spent money to be there, dude, you're on vacation. Yeah. And he's always the first one to line up and help. Always the first one to go out of his way to do something. But folks, he did something that, let me back up a little bit. And I gotta be a little bit cryptic about this. And I think you guys will understand. There was already a lady that we mutually know.
Right.
That
many and love.
Of us, yes. And love this lady. She's as sweet as can be. Has a child that's special needs, and the child's a little bit older. Moments before, now, folks that were out here, you're probably wondering why I lost it during the Q&A. And I'm going to give you the reasons why. And I'm going to swing it right back to Bill. And the only ones that really know about this is Paul and Eric. But I'm going to tell everybody else right now. Moments before I was about to do the compost class. Bill came up to me and he's like, dude, I gotta go. I mean, he's like, he's telling me that this woman that we all mutually know, that he was already in the middle of helping out. It wasn't a romantic relationship or anything like that. He's just that kind of guy. He was helping her out. She was looking after his place. Come to find out that her child, her special needs child, had been sexually molested. I won't go into the full details of it, but I mean, in the most horrendous kind of way. And he was just made aware of it. And he's like, how far should I go? What can I do? He literally paid money for this festival. I mean, paid good money to be here, was camped out there. And this tactical nuke just got thrown into his lap. And he's telling me about it. And I was like, dude, you got to go. So Amy, part of your money was to pay somebody to get him packed up as soon as possible, so he could take this lady to go up there and go get her kid. And by the way, now they're in a safe space, but obviously, I mean, this is not something you just get over. He told me that right before we were about to do that compost class. And I was like, if anybody knows how I feel about how kids are treated and how these, I won't go into that, but it was moments before then. And it was all I could do to just kind of maintain. And then I was like, okay, dude, compartmentalize this. You gotta train these people. They came out here and all of them came out here. You have got to focus on getting this class done. You got to do it right. So I get through the class. And it's still on my mind. And at this moment, I haven't told another soul of what was happening. Get through that class. And then later on, we have a Q&A. And there was a one sweet lady. I mean, everybody in there was just absolutely fantastic. There was a sweet lady. I was able to just kind of subdue my anger, frustration, and just flat out hurt I was able to subdue it long enough, and I was just kind of keeping it to myself. And at that point, I hadn't told another soul. Well, somebody, she asked, well, what can we do to help you? And it was very sweet. Once again, a selfless, selfless person. And you're going to find nothing but selfless people at these things. And I lost it. I mean, I didn't mean to get as emotionally, certainly people are probably wondering why I just kind of emotionally broke down there. It all came back right there, what Bill had told me. And that's when I said, look, don't worry about supporting me. Support Caleb House. Because all I could think about is all these other kids out there that are absolutely molested, satanic ritual abuse, child sex trafficking, things I don't even really want to talk about on this program. But I got to. Because until this scourge is eliminated, well, I'm going to keep shouting it as far from the rooftops as I possibly can. That's when it came out. That's when I was just overcome and I just couldn't hold it anymore. And so I just lost it, man. I was up there crying like Justin Rhodes. So,
I mean, but for good reason.
Yeah. I mean, this wasn't for, I couldn't hold it together anymore. Well, I handed the mic over to William because I just couldn't say another word. And then Michelle ended up kind of
I'm going to be able to say anything. I've seen my dad break down. I'm trying to hold it together. And then mom is the only one that can actually get words out.
Yeah. So that's what went on there. But folks, before I lose it again, let me just kind of get back on topic here because I can't spend too much time thinking about it because this stuff just absolutely breaks my heart. Anyway, I'm sitting here thinking about Bill and I'm dedicating this show to him because seriously, we are in short supply of selfless people. I mean, folks, if you only knew the full extent of what this man does and what he did and how much of a blessing he's been to so many people out there, it would absolutely floor you. So, Bill, this show is dedicated to you and is dedicated to all the other selfless people out there, the people I mentioned and all the people that I obviously don't have time to mention here. It's people like you that make these things, you are the consummate definition of why these things exist and why of the character of the people that go to these things. That's what I'm talking about. And it wasn't just the folks I mentioned here. There are so, so many more. Everybody that put this on, like I said, this wasn't no money-making scheme. I promise you that. Chef's got to get paid. You know, the venue's got to get paid. The Airbnb to house the people that came got to get paid. I mean, all these things got to get paid. And honestly, this was not what you call a profitable venture. But it was. To be in the company of so many of you awesome people out there was just, it's more than I can bear. So with that, I'm just going to go ahead and go straight into the Q&A. But Bill, dude, if people only knew the full extent of the sacrifice and the selflessness that you demonstrated, they'd want to be your friend too.
If people had half your character, then there would be far less issues in this world.
Yeah. Yeah, there wouldn't be this stuff going on. I mean, this guy's hours and hours and hours away from his home. Hours. I mean, probably 6 to 8 hours maybe. He had to go all the way back there, go get her, go drive all the way up to a state up north, and then somehow find his way back home. There ain't a lot of people out there, y'all, that would do that, but I'll tell you what, there was a whole lot of them at that conference. And I'll tell you what, there's going to be those same kinds of people right there at Midwest Preparedness Project. If you're wondering, if you're one of those people out there that feels marginalized, you don't have any family, man, if you only knew, this group in Kansas is the group I started with, man. Do you know how many single widowed people that were part of that group that were invited to, I don't know how many, Thanksgiving and Christmas and all kinds of events? I mean, that's where you find your family. Life's greatest injustice is the inability to choose your own family. Just ask me. But I'll tell you what, this gives you the opportunity to do that. So it was a real, real joy. To see such selflessness demonstrated.
And if you are one of those shy people that is looking for other people to hang out with or just a family, just go up to somebody, say, hey, I'm shy. I just want to be around you. I just want to hang out or something like that. And I can't think of a single person who would shun you or shy you away.
You know, the best way to break the, because there are a lot of introverted people, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of introverted people who go to this. You want to know the best way to get it over? Just go up to somebody and say, "Hey, how you doing? I'm Billy. What do you do?" Just ask them about them. Always do that. If you ask them about them, I guarantee you it's going to open the door in a massive way. And then if you find out, hey, you know, this is whack, okay, just go to somebody else and do the very same thing again. I promise you that is for the most introverted person. Just go up and ask somebody about them. Don't worry about talking about yourself. Just genuinely go up and demonstrate. I mean, you're there because you already have joint interests anyway. So just go there and ask them. All right. So with that, let's go into the Q&A. We got a few here. Just listen to episode 195, and this is from Alice, and she's asking about Michelle's natural dewormer recipe. Alice, it was a, let's see. Oh, let's see here. She's got more. Also wanted to let you know that you're not alone in the spiritual attacks. For the past 10 months, my husband has been writing about one sermon a month to give to a church while we were searching for the next pastor. Praise the Lord, we found one. Every time he has an issue, the laptop, now I'm glad you brought this up. We're going to get a little esoteric here now. Every time his laptop won't start up, it runs slowly and the Wi-Fi won't work. As soon as he prays, everything works perfectly. So check this out, Alice. I was telling Michelle about this the other day. I had to go get money out of the ATM. I get over there, I pull up to this thing and it's telling me it ain't working. I'm like, I know money's in the account. And I kid you not. I pray right there at that ATM, just a short prayer. And all of a sudden this thing rebooted. It looked for a moment like an 80s video game, and it rebooted right after I got finished praying, stuck my card back in there, and it worked. Same exact thing happens here at the house all the time. And yes, these electronics, yeah, they do get, you know, spiritual worms in them, so to speak. So pray over all your electronics as well. And I mean, obviously the NSA is listening to everything you do. So, and who knows whoever else. But regarding that dewormer, Michelle actually covered that two episodes ago. So, go check that out. And I think you're going to be glad you did. But you make me feel less alone in the world. I can guarantee you that.
The Joel Thomas over at Free the Rabbits, he actually just did an episode this last Friday about Nephilim AI. Really? And it talks about exactly. Oh, he does touch on stuff almost about what you guys are talking about. But, yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to get over there and check it out. I'm a little bit behind. Hollis says, "Hey, sir, I know you're busy. If you got a second and willing to shed some light, but I'm curious if there's some issues why you, or is there some issues with Andrew Mullison? I think he meant Millicent stuff. I haven't heard you recommend him at all. Also, we stopped watching Justin Rhodes and a lot of other YouTubes a while ago, but I'm also trying to figure out from some of your vague references, what's the issue with him?" Okay, Hollis, let me back up. Andrew Millicent, from the work I've seen from him, seems pretty solid. I honestly haven't had time to really research any of his work lately, but what I have seen,
what's it in regards to?
He's a permaculture designer.
Okay.
And he has a YouTube channel, but the work I've seen, or at least I don't know that I've ever seen any of his work per se, but I have seen him do some really awesome, interesting videos. I don't know the guy personally. I wouldn't mind getting to know him. I would interview him. I have seen some of the stuff that he's exposed on there, as far as his exposés on permaculture and stuff like that. And I thought it was solid work. I don't know him. I just know from what I have seen, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Now regarding, Justin Rhodes, I make no bones about the fact that we don't like each other. I mean, I got my reasons, but I don't know that I'm going to say it here, but I understand. I mean, I guess I did, you know, in fairness, I did offer a cage match.
I can give my own personal reason.
Well,
if you'd like.
Well, let me just say this, you know, in fairness, I did offer Justin the opportunity to do a benefit cage match.
Yeah.
And give all the money away. But, yeah, I mean, I promised, honestly, once I'm done choking him out, once the ref pulls me off, I'll let him breathe again, you know? I mean, I'm not going to permanently damage him. No, I mean, truth of it is, I don't like him. He doesn't like me. And I got reasons for it. And, you know, and folks, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. There's people in this world that don't like me. You may not like the way I lick stamps, for crying out loud. I mean, there may be things, you may just hate the way I look. And it doesn't make you a racist. It doesn't make you anything. It just makes you somebody, you know, sometimes I don't like you, you don't like me, and that's the way things are going to be. Now, I justify my dislike with reasons, but I don't know that this format is a place to expose any of that. But son, as you were.
You want me to go ahead and give my reason?
You're a grown man.
I would never put my wife and my baby intentionally in a position where they could potentially get hurt just to film it on YouTube. I would never, y'all, that gas station was just down the road from the hospital. That was just down, we're in the same area. I know exactly where that is. I've done a bunch of work in that area, just down the road from the hospital. And having a wife and baby, that just infuriates me even more that you would do that just to film, just to put it on YouTube.
Well,
also, Emily would have killed me if I filmed her while she was giving birth.
Yeah, well, you're not the only one that, I mean, I understand that the YouTube algorithms are going to favor certain things. But man, it wasn't just that. I mean, if you're at a funeral, it doesn't seem appropriate to film. I mean, but that's his thing. I don't like the guy. I don't like him. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't like me. And sometimes that's just the way it's going to go down. I mean, there's going to be people you just don't like or you don't jive with. I got legitimate reasons why I don't like him.
Yeah.
But
everybody can be a pimp.
Bam. Well, son, I mean, I think you're making a pretty solid point there. And as I recall, there were a number of women that I know personally that when they saw that video, boy, they were fit to be tied. Yeah. So you're saying that the gas station was just down the road.
Just down the road. Just down. Close enough. If there was an emergency, it would have been no problem. Well, potentially. I mean, I don't know. You never know. But yeah, just close enough, but far enough away so you can't see it in the background.
Well, I don't want anybody to think I'm just unjustifiably hating on the dude. Like I said, we don't like each other, or at least, well, you know, I'm not going to go into that right now. Yeah. Look, there's just going to be people you don't like, and I don't like him. So I know that's not really answering your question. I know you want some more inside stuff there, but I'll leave everybody else. I mean, there's going to be people out there that don't like me. And there was a time, honestly, oh, shoot, what did I do here on this computer? You know, there was a time in the past where that sort of thing used to bother me, but I don't care anymore. I mean, if you don't like me, I don't even need you to require. I'm not going to require a whatever. It's not because you're a racist. It's not because of this. You may not like my style. You don't like the way my delivery goes down. You may not like this or that. Whatever the case is, you're just not going to like people, and they're just not going to like you. And you just, you know, I mean, that's just the way it goes down. I mean, I'm not going to lose any sleep over that.
If you're liked by everybody, you didn't stand for anything.
Bam. Eleanor Roosevelt, you know, she said a lot of cool quotes. And one of them was, okay, so I'm going to poorly paraphrase it, but it's basically, okay, so you got enemies. Good. That means you stood up for something.
That's probably where I got that from.
Well, there you go. Just gave you the reference. Yeah. All right. So Darren says, he's like, he's telling me that they got Terrace Majors for $7.49 a pound. And and that was in Spartanburg. So anybody needs Terrace Major, bam, you know where to go.
You might want to make sure that came from a cow.
Yeah. So Zach is saying, apologies for the lengthy email, but I wanted to share and get another permaculture progress update. Now, I love hearing, man, I love to see the progress of Zach and so many others. But anyway, he says, for the past several years, we've had a section of overgrown with multiflora rose and was also taken over a wild black raspberry bush, a volunteer black locust, and a volunteer ash. I managed to hand clear about half of the rose, left half the blackberry, and pollard the black locust, in addition to spreading mushroom blocks. And then left alone, whereas prior years I would have mowed around the rows. Now, native jewelweed, goldenrod, and ironweed have come up in the seed bank alongside wild strawberry ground cover and are rapidly overtaking the rose bush altogether. Yeah, see, while I understand these are native pioneer weeds, look, I'm just going to jump to the chase here, Zach. The cool thing is that that is progress. Some people are going to tell you that it ain't, but yeah. I guess you already know that because the cool thing about that is it's succession.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's how you ultimately find your way to grass.
You're getting out of the thorny, viney species and into the what other people would call weeds. You're obviously recognizing as medicine species.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, that's a really good place to be. Okay. Let's see here. We got one from Samantha. I was going to just comment under the video I'm listening to on this episode on Spotify, but I can't seem to find the one for the YouTuber where it is. Yeah. I don't even put these on YouTube half the time, unless it's an interview that I'm about 100% sure won't get. If I do any kind of YouTube with this podcast, they just tank it anyway, so it's not even worth the effort. So I just leave it in the audio format in most cases. You did have me laughing while driving, thinking, yep, they do that. But it's not just in the crosswalk. She's talking about black folks. So Samantha, let's just keep it real. She said it ain't just black folk either. Although they do seem to do it differently, as what she says here. Also, I know for a fact that folks will pull out in front of you on the road and purposely go slow because, hate to admit it, my fiance does the same thing. I hate it. He will intentionally not use his blinker. Yeah. So, look, that thing I talked about last time, look, it's real. It happens.
Hey, there's a new phenomenon going on in, like, the Memphis area driving through there. They'll be in a busted down Altima. If you see a busted down Altima, you should make distance because they're going to go flying through, switching lanes as if that thing's not about to fall apart already. Yeah, that's another new phenomenon I've noticed.
Well, glad I'm up here in the mountains, bro, because you know what? A lot of the people that behave that way don't like cold weather. So,
or rural areas.
Look, hey, oh, somebody's out there. Oh, that's so racist. Man, I'm keeping it real. I don't really care. I really don't care. I mean, you know, some of these stereotypes, they're only look, it's not wrong to stereotype, folks. You stereotype every single thing in your life. You don't examine a chair every time you sit down in it. You stereotype the fact that it's probably going to hold your weight. You know, you don't examine and go through a PMCS on a vehicle every time you jump in it. So some of these stereotypes are true. Look, man, we got Mexicans down the road here, y'all. I don't even know how it's possible.
They got fighting chickens.
Dude, they got fighting chickens. They got fighting people. Man, I don't even know how, man, but we got 15 Chevys pulled up in one driveway, and they all live in the same place. Now, is that a stereotype? And, dude, I don't know what the gestation period is on some of these folks, but man, they got more kids than they ought to.
They got kids 3 months apart.
Hey, you know it's real, but the truth of it is, I mean, honestly, some of these stereotypes is true. Black people and chicken. Okay, I got a genetic predisposition to like chicken.
It doesn't help that they leave Corona on the front porch.
Yeah, I mean, these guys got a line of them out on the front porch, got the fighting chickens. Trash all over the place.
Yeah.
And Chevy's all up and down that driveway. So check. Okay. You're saying stereotypes. Okay. Check. When you were doing jujitsu as a kid, I saw your mom and I counted them 13 kids jump out of a Chevy Caprice. How do you stack 13 kids in one car? 13.
No AC, I'm sure.
13 kids up in one car. I'm like one, two, three. I'm like, how is that even possible?
Man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like 15 to an inner tube coming across, man. I don't know what time it is. But anyway, I mean, yeah, all kidding aside, some of this stuff is real. Anyway, here's another cool thing that you learn at these things. Okay, so EJ and his wife, man, just fantastic people. They had their baby there, a little cutie. Mm-hmm. And okay, so when you have some of these conversations with some of the folks out there, it's like I've been looking for a Rife machine forever and a day.
Yeah.
Like a real Rife machine or something similar to it. But I've never been able to find one that I'm like, okay, well, how do you find a good one, man? I'm like, we're talking with them, me and your mom, and I mean, he wrote an email here. He said, it was an immense pleasure to meet you and speak with you at the Jamboree this past weekend. I'm equally amazed and humbled that you took as much time to talk to us as you did. EJ, brother, I'm going to keep it real. It was a pleasure to speak to you and your wife. And I'm not saying that. I mean that. I mean, EJ and Alyssa, I mean, you guys were just absolutely, absolutely fantastic. I'll leave your last name out because obviously you don't know who's listening or what kind of whack job might want to, you know, contact you. But the point being, there's more here, but the truth of it is, honestly, it is a joy to meet you. You have no idea how Michelle almost never leaves this place. I mean, she might leave twice a month, maybe. And as soon as she leaves, she can't wait to get right back half the time. But honestly, it's meeting people. That's why when I told her, when we were on the way there, I was like, hey, there's this couple you got to meet. I'm like, I'm telling you, it's like looking in the mirror. You're not going to believe it. And we're out there, and these are the kind of conversations, y'all. So I've been looking forever for a Rife machine, and he's hooking me up with, you know, Hope and Devon. He sent me this thing on, Quantum Collective. I mean, man, this is fantastic. I can't wait to go through this stuff. But anyway, he's saying, well, I don't know how much of this is supposed to be spoken in public, but anyway, man, I mean this, man. It was a fantastic joy to meet you and your wife. And, man, I really look forward to the time I can meet y'all again because it was a real joy. Let's see here. Steven this time, the one you heard me talk about him before in a previous podcast, y'all, where he and his son were in his tent and they weren't in it at the time, but a tree landed on it. And had they been in there, they would have been dead. This time he brought the whole family unit.
Steven had me cracking up. Every time he talked to me, he had me cracking up.
He says he's just, you know, he's just a great guy, man. He's just fantastic. He and his family. It was cool to meet the rest of them too. Wish I could have spent more time with him, but this is the regret you have when you go to these things is that you're like, doggone it, man. You know, I wish I had more time to spend with, to talk to him. And I'm sure there's a whole gang of people I didn't even get to talk to because I was just on my bicycle the whole time. That's a correction I'd like to make in the next one is that we don't have maybe, you know, this is our first one. So, I mean, things are going to be a little bit tight. So right. If we can tighten up things a little bit where I got time to breathe because Mike, obviously there was no way he was going to finish those chickens and ducks without help.
Yeah.
So we had to basically, it was not Mike's fault. It was just,
didn't know.
Yeah. We just didn't know.
First festival.
Yeah. So, it was a joy to meet him out there. Anyway, he wrote back and then he was also talking about, you told him to reach out to us regarding a soil test. We really don't have the bandwidth to do that right now, bro. But in the future, that's one of the things we intend to do is, we hope to in the near future be able to start doing soil tests. And then the final one here is coming from Jonathan. He says, I'm interested in the bone sauce, but I don't want to jeopardize my deer hunting. I would like to know how long one application is effective for and what the effective range is or radius from the application site. Well, Jonathan, I'll be honest with you. Bro, if you got any concern about doing any hunting, bro, don't put this, you don't buy this stuff. Man. You know,
I've seen one deer on this property since you put bone sauce out here. Like personally, I've seen one deer and it was a fawn and it was panicking trying to figure out how to get out of this property.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, bro, when you, especially with this new mix that I got right now, and I don't have any on the website right now because for the folks that are interested, I don't have any on the website right now because like I said, I mean, my focus had to be on doing the proper training out at this festival and making sure this thing went down. So, I think we actually do have some on site. I think we have but that's what's there right now. And it's probably not going to be back in stock until, maybe this weekend or a little bit later. But the point of it being is that if you have any concerns, I can't, because it's different in every area. I can't tell you, hey, it's going to last this long. I can't tell you this. I can't tell you that. There's none of that stuff I can tell you, but man, this stuff has a long, long life. It's going to jeopardize your deer hunting in short order. Don't buy it.
Here's a potential solution is if you painted like wooden stakes that you could remove during deer season or like a little bit before deer season, maybe that would be helpful. Like you could paint the wooden stakes, keep them around the trees until deer season, and then take the stakes away whenever you're ready to start hunting, like put them far away. Maybe that would help.
That might be a solution, but yeah. I would still, I mean, some of that stuff might linger a while. That would be, yeah, son, I think that's about the only sensible solution. It might work, but man, honestly, bro, I wouldn't, if you're going to paint it right on those trees, man.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, bro, you're going to ruin that spot. Because, I mean, the second we put it on, man, we had deer, turkey all over this property.
Yeah, you're going to need a lease after that. You're going to need a hunting lease.
Yeah, bro. You might find another place. So, for anybody out there, this new recipe, it's not a new recipe. I just added a couple of tweaks to it that I think I'm always looking for ways to improve this stuff. And I'm having to invent the technology to be able to make it possible. So, yeah, we got some stuff in here that deer and rabbits ain't going to be digging. But even the voles seem to not like it that much, but I don't have enough detailed information on how well that works. But really, truth of it is, don't put it out, bro. All right, y'all. Hopefully, William, tell everybody where they can find you. I mean, for the ones that don't know.
The Permaculture Consultant. And if you look up the Permaculture Consultant, that's the same way you can contact me. I have my email linked down below in every video. But if you look up the Permaculture Consultant, you'll find me on every platform.
All right, y'all. Hopefully this was a blessing to you. Love you, buddy.
Love you, too.
All right. Till next time, y'all. Stay alert.
Stay alive.
They don't want an individual, just a carbon copy. True, spitting that man a cotty. Yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they want to build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. Like a kamikaze, got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They want to push me to the center like a cell. They want to spin up at the center of the next. It's me. They want me to battle.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.